This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Baruchim Abba, welcome everyone. Shalom Aleichem to our shiur on Parshas Toldos. So, as recently we've had a number of very interesting announcements to make, but tonight the first interesting announcement is that we're launching, starting now, a new website actually, an entire new website called RabbiDG.com. Now, why the name? Because if I'm going to write Daniel Gladstein, first of all, nobody knows how to spell it. Is it D-A, D-O, you know, so it's very complicated. So all you have to know is D. And then Gladstein's also, how do you spell it? Most people end up spelling it with a D. And if you put in the wrong letter, you're never going to get there. So Rabbi, everybody knows how to spell, right? And DG is not so complicated. So this way, if anybody wants to get any of the Svarim, find any of the Shiurim, get onto any Zoom, get onto any podcast, it's all in one location. Everything is consolidated in one place. B'siyata d'shmaya, it was just born a few hours ago, just came out of the delivery room, and it's already here, it's available tonight. If you want to get the book, you could go to the website, Rabbi DG, and you could get any of the Svarim. Or you could go to Torah Anytime, you go to Speakers, Gladstein, there's a link for the book. We want to mention that the Shiurim are also available now on podcasts. You say, what's podcasts? Don't ask me, I'm not the guy, but whatever it is, it's there also. Okay, so Parshas Toldos. Okay, very important. Tomorrow at 2:30, we're starting a new Seder. It's the Shabbos Project. This year is expanding their efforts, so they're including now Hilchos Shabbos. We're going to be learning a Malacha every week, B'iyun. But Mamish, Lamdus and Halacha, 2:30 every Thursday. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 5:30 is the Shir on the Igeres Hagra. 2:30 on Thursdays is a Shir on Hilchos Shabbos. If you missed the Shir, then we could still be on speaking terms, but you could catch it later on the various venues. Tomorrow night, 9:30, new opportunity. Shas Illuminated. It's a new website. It's not a new website, but it's a well-known website. It's the first time we're being featured on it. It's going to be monthly Q&A Thursday nights every once a month. Okay, here we go. Parshas Toldos. Welcome, everybody. The last pasuk of the parsha. It's a pasuk that perhaps gets overlooked. We once spoke about this inyan, but we never put it into these terms. The pasuk says like this. Vayelech Esav el Yishmael. Esav went to Yishmael. Vayikach es machalas basishon. He took the daughter of Yishmael, machalas, ben Avraham, the son of Abraham, achos nevayos, the sister of nevayos, al nashav on his wife's loy leisha. So the last pasuk in the parasha is Mazel Tov, who got married? Yitzchak, who's the mechutan? Excuse me, Esav got married. Who's the mechutan? Yitzchak and Yishmael. So lemaisa, it's quite an interesting relationship. You know that before Esav married Yishmael's daughter, what was the relationship between Esav and Yishmael? Yishmael was Esav's uncle. Now, Yishmael is Esav's shver, and Esav is the Edom. In other words, when Yishmael would go to the shtibol, they say, "Nu, Yishmael, who's your Edom?" You say, "My Edom, Chashve Edom, Esav HaRasha." They say, "Mamish Atzuga Pasta Shidduch, Inve HaGefen, Yishmael, Esav, Mamish, a beautiful Shidduch." Now, what does this have to do with the price of tea in China? Why does the parsha end that Esav went and married the daughter of Yishmael? So the Pashup Shad is like Rashi says. We all know that after Yitzchak, after Yaakov stole the brachos, so Rivka said, Yaakov, you got to get out of here. You got to scram. And I would not be pleased if you marry someone from Canaan. And Yitzchak also says, I would be disgusted if you marry someone from Canaan. They said, Katzdi b'chayai m'bnei b'nois ches. You know, there's a famous machloikis, I don't know, a few decades ago, between Rav Bick and the Satmar Rebbe. Rav Bick made a takana, he wanted to make a takana, that before a couple gets engaged, they have to go out 8 times. Otherwise, you know, his experience was that people got married too quickly and it didn't end well. So he wanted to be mesaken l'chol hapachas 8 times. So the Satmar Rebbe famously said, "Katzdi b'chayai m'bnei b'nois ches." You know, I'm disgusted by this practice. And Rav Bick said, "That's very nice, Satmar Rebbe, you're a mesader kedushin. I'm a Masader Gittin. So, okay. But be it as it may, Yitzchak said, Katsi b'chayai mibnei b'nois ches. I'm disgusted. You can't marry from someone around here, from the b'nois Canaan. And therefore, Yaakov went back to his other uncle. You know, Yaakov had some pretty chashuva uncles. Yishmael, Mitzad Echad. He had Uncle Lavan on the other side. You know, this was not on the Shidduch resume. You could be sure on Yaakov's Shidduch resume, he did not put his uncles on the resume, just like many people. But be it as it may, Rashi says like this. So Esav overhears that Yitzchak and Rivka tell Yaakov, you can't marry someone from here, you have to marry somebody from my family. So Esav says to himself, look, I'm a big mechabed av. If I know my father doesn't want me to marry someone from around here, and Yaakov's going to Aram Naharaim, I'm also going to pick someone from the family. Vayilach Esav el Yishmael, Rashi says, mechuber le'inyan shamayla. When Esav saw that Yitzchak gave a bracha, and he got sent to Padan Aram, and Yaakov heard what happened, and Esav heard kirois b'nois Canaan, so he also went to Yishmael. That's the Pashup Shah in the Pasuk. That the reason why the Torah ends that Esav went to Yishmael is because he's following Yaakov. You know, he knew Yaakov, he knew that Yitzchak and Rivka were not pleased if he married Benois Ches, so he also followed suit. However, there is an incredible comment of the Vilna Gaon. This is a Gaon we once quoted. The only thing is, when we quoted in the past, we left out one line, and this line is tonight's share. The Gaon is not found in a typical place. The Gaon is found in the commentary to the Safra de Tzniusa, which is one of the classic Kabbalistic works. If I'm not mistaken, Safra de Tzniusa to the Zohar is what Mishnah is to Gemara. Okay, it's basically the foundation of Kabbalah. So the Gra wrote a commentary to Safra de Tzniusa, and he begins like this. Esav and Yishmael is Kayin and Hevel. Esav is the bad guy, the really bad guy. He's Kayin, who is the bad guy. And Yishmael, who's a little bit better because ultimately Yishmael does tshuva, he's Hevel. Now, what Avera did Kayin do? Kayin is a murderer. He killed Hevel. What other Avera did Kayin do? So you have to know, in Kabbalah, this is like the most spoken about subject. Kayin and Hevel were both born with a te'uma, with a twin girl. Kayin married his twin, Hevel married his twin. The only thing is, Vatelet Gamhi Es Hevel, Es Achiv Es Hevel. It says Es an extra time by Hevel. Hevel was born with two twin girls. So he figured, she's born with me, she's mine. Kayin said, I'm older, she's mine. Kayin lived with Hevel's twin. That was considered Gilui Arayos. So Kayin is a murderer, and Kayin also was Megala Arayos. We're in the Pasuk, is there a remez, Kayin was Megala Arayos. It says, Vayhi b'yoysam basodeh. Sodeh refers to Gilui Arayos. Now, Yishmael is Hevel. Since Hevel was the better one, Yishmael ultimately does tshuva, says the Goyin. The Avos HaKadoshim Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, everyone spoke about, were Adam Arishayin. Each one was Masakein, one of the Chatam of Adam, either Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, or Shvichas Damim. Esav is Kayin. That's why Esav came back from the Sodeh. The Sodeh is Gilui Arayos, and he was Oyev, he's a Reitzeach. And Yishmael is Hevel. Esav is on the right side, and Yishmael is on the left side. Esav is, we said many times, the Shar, and Yishmael is the Chamar. That's a famous theme in the Shurim, right? Esav is the Shar, and Yishmael is the Chamar. How do we know Esav is the Shar? Because the Pasuk says by Esav, Parim Abirim, and Yishmael, Shvulachem Payim HaChamar. Yishmael is called the Chamar. By the way, I once saw, we have to add on to one of the books, that what's the inyan of Pidyon Peter Chamar? What do you redeem a Chamar with? A sheep. What's the inyan? It's a reenactment of Akedas Yitzchak. Yishmael is a Chamar, and in lieu of Yishmael, Yitzchak was brought. So the mitzvah of Pidyon Aben, the mitzvah of Pidyon Peder Chamar, is basically a reenactment of Akedas Yitzchak. That is from, I think, the Kava Yashar. Okay.
When Yitzchak went to Davin, it says he went to the Soda.
He went to the Soda.
Yeah, and you're saying Soda, it talks about...
Not every time. Yitzchak refers to the Mikdash as a Soda. The Gemara says, that Avraham referred to the Mikdash as a har, Yitzchak a sada, Yaakov a bayis. So not every time, but by Esav it refers to Gilei Reis. Now, says the Goyin, if Esav is the shar, Purim Abirim, and Yishmael is the chamar, now we understand the prohibition of Lo Sacharosh B'Shar V'Chamar Yachdav, why you can't plow with an ox and a donkey together. Because if you plow with an ox and a donkey together, you're mixing Esav and Yishmael together. That's the lav of Shar and Chamar. Now, this is all based on the fact that Esav is Kayin and Yishmael is Hevel, because the Pirkei Dei Rabbi Elazar famously says, by the way, amazingly, what's the Yisur of Shatness? Semer is Kayin's carbon was Mipri Ha'adama, flax, wool. And Hevel's carbon was sheep. Hevel's carbon was Mipri Ha'adama, linen. And Kayin's was linen, thank you. And Hevel was wool. And basically mixing Kayin and Hevel is Shatness. Mixing Esav and Yishmael is Kelayim. And then the grass says a whopper. The Esav rotza lehizdaveg in Yishmael. Esav wanted to be meshadich with Yishmael. Why? Ulahachriv es ha'olam, and destroy the world. Because if the ox and the donkey ever mix together, it will destroy the world. You know, we say in Slichos, Kale seyer v'choisnai. Does that sound familiar? Destroy Esav and Hishver. What are we talking about? Destroy Esav and Hishver. We're talking about Yishmael. That's the tefillah. Kale es aseir v'choisnai. Why did Esav want to marry Yishmael and destroy the world? V'lachein v'yistoim Esav es Yaakov, because Esav hated Yaakov. V'yelech el Yishmael v'yikach es mochel asmas Yishmael. According to the Goyin and the Safra de Tzniusa, we've opened up a completely new vista in understanding Parshas Toldos. It's not Stam, Esav heard that his father was displeased with the Bnei Yishmael, so Esav went to marry the Bnei Yishmael. No, it's much more than that. The Pasuk says, look at number 3. Vayistam Esav es Yaakov, Esav hated Yaakov. Why did Esav hate Yaakov? Because Yaakov stole the Bechaira. So basically, Esav wanted to destroy Yaakov. He wanted to obliterate Yaakov. How could Esav destroy Yaakov? If he's Meshadich with Yishmael, he will obliterate the world. Meaning the secret of destroying the world is if ever Edom, the Western world, America, would ever make peace with Yishmael, the Arab world. If that would ever happen, you know, if the President of the United States would ever make a peace treaty with a Chavis, you know, then that's the end of it. That would be the end of the world. God specifically orchestrated that Esav and Yishmael don't get along. If they would ever get along, there would be Machav Olam. This was the Kavana in Esav being Meshadech to Yishmael. But the question is, what exactly is the secret over here? Why is Esav and Yishmael such a duo of destruction? I mean, we don't find the Chveis. If Loit would ever be Meshadech with Nimrod, they would destroy the world, you know? If Chveis, the Bnei HaFlogo, whatever, what's this combination of Esav and Yishmael? This is what we're going to try to unlock tonight. Now, there's an amazing medrash that we never saw before on the Bris Ben HaBesarim. The medrash says in the Yalkut Shemoni and Lech Lecha, Remez Ayin Vav. Did Yishmael do tshuva before this juncture? When Avraham passed away, so it said that Yishmael went to what? Yitzchak before Yishmael. So that's a raya that Yishmael did tshuva. Did that happen at this point in time when Esav married him? Look, we're going to see that even though Yishmael did tshuva, Lamaisa, in history, nothing good ever came out of Yishmael, despite the fact that he did tshuva. What's interesting is, and question that I've been pondering, is even though Yishmael seems to be better off than Esav, the descendants of Esav seem to be much better off than Yishmael. And I saw this morning in the Chidah, after we went to print, in the Chaimas Anach, that he brings an idea, no ger ever came out of Yishmael. We We have many Gerim that came out of Esav. For example, Shmaya Naphtalion. For example, Unklus Hagar. And for example, Rav Meir. Did I ever mention there's a new Sefer on Rav Meir? Did I ever mention that? Yeah. So Rav Meir also came out from Esav, right? In fact, that's what we learned in Parshas Vayishlach. Yaakov was afraid. Shema Yehareg Acherim. He was afraid he would knock off Rabbi Meir. But, okay. Rabbi Akiva. Good. There's a Shaila. The Gemara in Gittin says, B'nei Banav Shel Sisra Loimdim Torah. So some are goyis that Rabbi Akiva came from Sisra. And Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef in his Sefer has a girsa that Rabbi Akiva came from Haman. And in the humble Sefer, Magid HaRakiha and Purim, there's a maracha on this. Did Rabbi Akiva come from Esav or did Rabbi Akiva come from Sisra? Pashup Shadi came from Sisra to say Rabbi Akiva came from Esav, but there are those who are goyres.
Sisra is a descendant of Esav.
Was he?
Why?
Who says he was? We don't find that Sisra was from Edom.
Your blanket saying Esav is not everybody other than Yishmael is Esav.
No, Lav Davka. In other words, the guy in North Korea, is he from Esav? Is he from Yishmael? I don't know. There's 70 Umais, you know? We're going to come back to that guy soon. Okay, so then the Yalkut Shemani, it says like this. Vayoymer elov kecholi egla mishuleshes zu malchus Edom. Shehi keegla dasha. Take for me a fat cow. That refers to Edom. Edom is considered a fat cow. Yavon is called the goat. Madai and Paras is called the ram. Tyre, what's a tyre? A shire. Now, we have a lot of choshev doctors here, so maybe someone could explain to me. What is Larabois dentist? I think right now we have one of the largest collection of dentists in one room in the United States of America. But, Lamaisa, what's the difference between a bull and an ox? Anybody know? It's a different animal, no? Is a shor and a par? What's a... Yes or no? Or it's Mam Shatifa Shaila. A par. Par echad, right? Parim, par echad, and then shor, oi kesev. So could somebody tell me for once and all, stand up, and please tell me the difference between a shor and a par. They're the same. Well, is it the same behemoth? Okay, I asked this question this morning. I posed this question to philosophers, theologians, scientists, doctorian, dentists, but we need a zoologist, I guess. But for now, I believe. They didn't teach that in dentistry.
What?
They didn't teach
it.
What? Okay. B'mar Rabbeisai, according to the Medrash, listen to this. Edom is Agola. Agola. The Agola seems like a female calf. And Yishmael is a shor, which is a male. Says the Medrash, listen to this. Ayla Oretz, woe to the earth. When the male cow and the female cow get together, you know what's going to happen when you plow with a male cow and a female cow? Israel, they will open up every deep place. Now this is totally not like the Gra, because the Gra says Esav is the par and Yishmael is the chamar. Here the Medrash seems to be saying that Esav is an agala and Yishmael is a shor. We're going to go tonight like the goyin. But one thing we're going to take from the Medrash is that achen vai, if Esav and Yishmael ever got together, if Esav and Yishmael, they would uproot the deep places. Now there's a part two of tonight's shir, because there's only one nation that when they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, they were not only machir of the Mikdash, they said, ha'oi merim, aru, aru. They said, uproot, uproot. Who? Bavel. Edom. Right? Bas Bolosh, Dash, Ha'imirim, aru, aru is going on. Edom. Rome. Rome, they weren't just machriv. They were ma'amik and meshadid the amokim. Exactly like the Medrash says. Apparently, they must have gotten into cahoots with Yishmael. But now we learn another amazing thing, a revelation of the Rambam. The Rambam, in this little shtickle over here, he speaks prophecy. Mamish Nevuah. I don't think there is anybody says this other than the Rambam. The Rambam wrote a letter called Igeres Kiddush Hashem, or Igeres HaTeman, to Mechazik Yidin, whose lives were threatened to convert to Islam. And the Rambam says as follows, in the Igeres HaTeman, says the Holy Rambam, Aval Eisayi, about the time of Mashiach, the Nevi'im have already told us about it, namely Daniel, Yeshaya, and other Chachamim. Do you know when Mashiach will come? Kishe Tiskaf Yad Edoim Va'arav, when Edoim is strong, when Arabia is strong, and they spread out to the whole world. In other words, when the Roman Empire and the will extend itself to the United States of America, and then the Arabs will extend itself to Asia and Europe, then you know Mashiach is coming. So basically in a few days, right, according to the Rambam. In other words, we need the Western world to take over a part of the world, and we need the Arabs to take over the other part of the world. I know they predict in a few decades, Europe will be almost completely in the hands of our cousins. So, says the Rambam, by the way, like today, this is, if there's anything that was ever true, it's the following. When Edom and Yishmael rule the world, Mashiach will come. Listen to what he says. Even Daniel, when he talks about Malchus Yishmael and the establishment of Mahamad, who's their prophet, he talks about the coming of Mashiach. And Yeshaya says the raya of the coming of Mashiach is Heroes Memshin Gimlayan. When that fella comes to the scene, Memshin Gimlayan, when he comes, then you know Mashiach is coming. And then the Rambam says, where is this Memshin Gimel Ayin alluded to in the Navi Yeshaya? It says, there's going to be a guy riding on a camel. Now, who's the guy riding on a camel? Some say, Yesh Oimrim, it's the vice president. Okay, but L'chor, that's not the same name. But who rides on a camel? It's not anybody in the Western world. The guy in North Korea ain't riding on a camel. There's only one person, the leader of the Yishma'elim, rides on a gomel. So the Pasuk talks about Rechev Tzemed Parashim, Rechev Chamor, Rechev Gomel. So the Rechev Gomel is the ascent of Memches Memdalad, Mohammed. And then it says Tzemed Parashim. Listen to the words of the Rambam. Kiloimer, His Davig, Shtei Umois, Shem Edom, the Yishmael. The Rambam is of the opinion that the moment Edom and Yishmael come together, Mashiach is coming. In other words, either the world's going to be destroyed, or had Mashiach not come, the world would be destroyed. In other words, the most dangerous thing in history is the union of Esav and Yishmael. But it's also the advent of the coming of Mashiach. But we still really don't have an understanding of what exactly is so dangerous about the union of Esav and Yishmael. So for this, we come to the Maharal, and this is the way that Rav Moshe Shapiro explains this sugya. He says as follows. What is the prominent... Yeah, and that was a very dangerous moment in time. So the Gra goes on to say that Hashem was basically Mesares, the union, and he tampered with the DNA in order to ensure the world would not be destroyed. What that means, that's beyond the scope of this shir. In other words, I don't know. Okay? But that the Gra says Hashem was Mesares the Zachar. Those are the next words in the Tzafer Ditznuso, which I did not put on the sheet. Azoy, yeah?
Yeah.
So it's the same animal, it's just a different procedure. The ox is more domesticated than the bull?
Well, oxen work, bulls don't work.
I mean, the bull, you know...
They don't pull the oxen
do. Okay. For now, we'll go with that until Ad Ki Avashi, until we get until Elio Anavi. I'm going with it. Okay. The Maral says like this. The Gemara says in the beginning of Avodah Zarah that in the end of days, yeah? So we have Rafal Yair is conferring that that is the difference between the Shor and the Par. Rafi. Okay. So
there's a Par Aduma, there's never a Shor Aduma.
You just never saw one.
Because it doesn't exist. But there is a Par Aduma.
You know that, you know, an interesting chiddush is that, you know, the beverage Red Bull, right? Red Bull, Par Aduma. You know that the owner of Red Bull was Nifter Parshas Para. It's a fact. He was Nifter on Parshas Para. It's Mamish Dvarim Gedoilim Einam B'mikra. Okay, so back to the ranch. No pun intended. Okay, so the Maral says as follows. The Gemara says in the beginning of Masechta Avodah Zarah that in the end of days, all the nations of the world are going to come and say, we want reward. Hashem says, a reward is only for people who learn Torah. So the nations of the world said, we all learn Torah, and they're all going to give their claim how they supported Torah. And the Gemara says, an Edom is going to say, what do you mean we supported Torah? Harbe shvakim asinu. We made many marketplaces. Harbe merchatsois asinu. We made many bathhouses. Now, it doesn't say that about Persia. Persia, the Gemara says, they say we waged many wars. We built many bridges. But about Edom, it says we made many bathhouses and we made many stores. Says the Maharal, from here we learn the dominant and prominent feature of Edom. What is the main characteristic of Edom? That is, they are Balei Yishuv. They promote the development and they want to advance the civilization of the world. In other words, the entity, the essence of Edom is they always want to make the world more developed. Technology. They always want to advance society, advance civilization. They want to make the world more inhabitable. They are people who have nicer stores. You know, you go to, you remember the stores 50 years ago, right? Are they the stores today? No, the stores today are much more developed. Even if you go to Lakewood, you see these malls, it's unbelievable, right? Every year, the stores get fancier. But that's the concept of Edom. Edom always wants to advance society, advance technology, advance civilization. They build marketplaces, shvakim, and mechartsois, bathhouses. The Western world are very into hygiene, right? The other parts of the world, it's considered very noble to bathe at least once a month or once a week, right? Or every third day. The United States of America, in the Western world, Edom, daily hygiene. That's something that they bring to the world. The advancement of society, hygiene, civilization. This is alluded to in that which the Gemara says, that they built mechartsois and they built shvakim. As opposed to, the Maral says, not every ummah promotes the advancement of civilization, advancement of society. There are civilizations that are nomadic. They live in the midbar. They don't really have the same level of hygiene. V'zacharni, she'kishani haya katan, be'erach gil asara, hayisi bechevron, v'sham, Bnei Dod Shalanu, Hem Rochatzim Behasur. That's how they bathed. So not every civilization believes in sophisticated hygiene or hygiene at all. Not every civilization wears Big Day Adam. There are civilizations they wear basically shmatas. Not in the Western world, if you meet dignitaries and politicians, you will never see their toenails, guaranteed. However, there are cousins of ours who it's important for them to be able to let you know exactly what kind of fungus is under their toenails, you know. Why do I need to see somebody else's feet, raglayim? The answer is some civilizations are not holding by the madrega of Edom, which is basically to promote mechatzois and shevakim. There are civilizations that live in the midbar. So the Maral talks about the milus of Edom. He doesn't talk about necessarily the deficiencies of the shver of Edom. Okay? So the Gur Arye, the Maral, in the beginning of this week's parasha, says something unbelievable. We once spoke it out. He says that, you know, Rivka Imenu was in great turmoil because she passed by the house of Avodah Zarah, someone was kicking at to come out. She passed by the house of Beis Medrash, someone's kicking at to come out. So Rivka thought her kid is schizophrenic. She thought the kid is, bipolar. She was in a lot of turmoil. What's up with the kid? So basically they said, don't worry, Rivka. Hakol beseder. Everything is beautiful. Shnei goyim bevidneich. You're going to have a gadol hadar, and you're going to have Hitler. So rest assured, everything is going to be mamish gevaldik. Don't worry. Oh, Baruch Hashem, Rivka says. Mamish, yiddish nachas. And she goes home, and she's calm. I don't understand. They just told her she's going to have an Esav. That's better? She'd rather have a Yaakov and an Esav than one kid who's a meshuggah? So basically, the Maral and the Kliyakar explain, you know, Rashi says on the words Shnei Goyim Bevinech that they told Rivka about Rebbe and Antoninus. So of all the people that would come out of Esav, why did they tell Rivka about Antoninus? So the Maral says like this. Rivka was afraid because she knew that Avraham had two children, Yitzchak and Yishmael. And Yitzchak is a tzaddik yisoid olam, and Yishmael is mitzachik. He's mamish, not worth. Rivka said to herself, to have a child like Yishmael, imkein lamazal noichi. Rivka considered Yishmael the biggest basura ra that she possibly could have. And that's what she thought. She figured one kid is kicking to go to the Beis Medrash, and one is kicking to go to the Beis Tiflos. So they told her, don't worry. Esav is not a Yishmael. Yishmael, nothing good ever came out of Yishmael. Did anything good happen? No Gerim ever came out of Yishmael. You know, any Tzadikim came out of Yishmael. But Edom, Esav, a lot of Gerim came out of Esav. Says Maral, you know why Gerim came out of Esav? Because Esav is Shnei Goyim. Esav has prestige. In the Western world, they wear nice suits, and they wear nice ties, and they have hygiene. Says the Maral, Esav has a nefesh chashuva. And therefore a nice gerim came out of Esav. Yishmael does not have a nefesh chashuva. In fact, the Maril Diskin says, Yishmael's nefesh is not quite that of an Adam. He famously says, you know, in Hebrew, the adjective always comes after the noun. Bayis gadol, bayis katan, adam chashav, adam gadol, adam this. And Yishmael, it says pere adam. It should say adam pere. Pere means a mule, a chamar. So it say, he's wild, a wild man. We mean, it should say adam pere. Why pere adam? The answer is no. Yishmael is not aleph dalet mem. Yishmael is pe resh aleph. What kind of chamar? What type of chamar? The type that's like an Adam. Adam is not the noun, Adam is the adjective. Rabbi Shmuel in the Gemara was a Helegetana who did not come from Yishmael. Why was he named Yishmael? Ayin betoisvus yishanim mesachta yuma. Why Rabbi Shmuel was called Yishmael. But the reason why... So Rivka was saying, Baruch Hashem, if I would have had a Yishmael, I would have been Sabrach and it would have been terrible. But Baruch Hashem, I'm not having Yishmael, I'm having an Esav. Esav has a nefesh chashuva. He's someone who has a chash of a soul. He might be wicked, but there's a redeeming quality. Reb Meir is going to come from him. Shnei Rav Talia, Uncle is Hager, maybe Rebbe Akiva. So it was, by the way, right, the Shvilei Pinchas wants to say, Ki tzayid bepiv, there were neshamas trapped in his mouth, tar shebal peh. Who's Tarshav Bal Peh? Rav Meir, maybe Rabbi Kiva, Tzayid Bepiv. That's the secret of Tzayid Bepiv.
And yet their belief system is better.
It's true. Yishmael's belief system is better. That's a good point. In other words, that could be Yishmael Lamaisa is better than Esav in that Yishmael did Shuva, Esav didn't. Maybe that would account for the fact that Yishmaelim are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah and Christian and the Noitzrim, according to the Rambam, are Ovdei Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, what the Chidah says is Yishmael came from a non-Jewish mother, Hagar. So maybe that's why their descendants are worse. Masha'in Kein Esav was in the womb of Rivka Imenu, and he nursed from Rivka Imenu, so he therefore maybe he was able to do tshuva. Lamaisa, Reb Chaim Vital writes in the Perush on Tehillim Eitz Hadas Toiv that in Tehillim Kuf Chav Dalet Shir Hamalois Lulei Hashem Shahayolanu Yoimar Yisrael Lulei Hashem Shahayolanu Bekom Aleinu Adam. The Reb Chaim Vital writes Yishmael is quasi Adam. Listen to this. Why is he quasi Adam? He says that Esav is not even an Adam because Esav did not have which mila, which mitzvah, bris mila, right? His blood was nivla be'evarav and was not nivla be'evarav. And then when he turned 13, he said, forget the whole mila. But Yishmael had mila. You have mila, you're an Adam, but he didn't have priya. So since he didn't have priya, he's para Adam. Okay, the bottom line is like this: Esav and Yishmael are polar opposites. They're antithetical to each other. They're the exact opposite of each other. How's that? The essence of Esav is to develop society, to make society more sophisticated, to make civilization more sophisticated, to advance all aspects of society and civilization. Rav Moshe Shapiro writes, this is Marumas in the word Esav. What does Esav mean? Made. That's what they always want to do. They want to make. They want to create. They want to advance. Esav, Esav, Esav. They want to continue to advance society. On the other hand, Yishmael is the exact opposite. Esav, says the Gor Aryeh, they live in Chasheva Batim. Nice houses. Yishmaelim, they live in an Oyel. They live in tents. Esav wears Big Day Adam. They wear nice suits. Hugo Boss, Giorgio Armani. But the cousins, they wear Baruch Hashem. They wear Sakva Efer, Yutzal Arabim, right? What happened to the nice Western clothing? Says Reb Moshe Shapiro, Esav's essence is to destroy and break free from the shackles of civilization, the rules and laws of civilization. Who said we have to live in a house? Who said there has to be law and order? Who says we can't live in a oihel, somewhere in the midbar, far, far, to break away from civilization, to live in the most remote areas, far from civilization as possible? So Yishmael is the antithesis of Esav. Now, what? 1 second. Ah, yeah, right.
So which is the worst character?
So the answer is they're both bad.
The building or the staying God?
The answer is we could survive with either one of them. Why? Because if you just have the advancement of society, it brings with it certain benefits. Look, we need people to build our homes. We need people to make our clothing. We need people to make bathhouses and stores. And as Edom said, that we did everything, so Klai Yisrael should learn Torah. And as the Brisker Rav is Madayik, God didn't say, no, it's not so Klai Yisrael should learn Torah. It is, but that's just not why you did it. So we need Edom, and they're powerful. And Yishmael by themselves could destroy the world, because in a world that is governed by the worldview and the ideology of Yishmael, that's a world which is primitive. That's a world where everybody is living in a desert, wearing shmatas, living in a tent, without any law and order, defund the police, without any kind of rules and regulations of society. But you know what? If the world only had Yishmael, it would be a very good world. You know why? Because as corrupt as the worldview of Yishmael is, they don't have the technology and wherewithal and ability to impose and implement and educate the world to follow their viewpoint. Because they're so backward and they're so primitive that they don't have the koyach to impose their worldview on the world. So the answer is, a world of just Esav could exist. Because advancement of society is somewhat noble. A world of Yishmael could exist because they're sort of powerless to impose their ideology. But the moment that Yishmael can now access the technology of Esav, the know-how of Esav, the scientific information of Esav, and use that to impose their worldview on the rest of civilization, that's the moment the world is destroyed. If Esav, yeah, like Eshes Chaim Bloy. But Moshe Shapiro's point over here is that Esav is Yishmael is basically handicapped without the Yishuv, the advancement of Yishmael, without the advancement of Esav. The moment the two of them come together, the empty ideology of Yishmael is now able to harness the advancements of Esav. The world would come to destruction. If you remember, Marv Raboisai, where in history did we once have a shir a couple of years ago? Did Esav and Yishmael ever come together? So if you remember, Achashverosh, remember that guy? Our favorite character. Achashverosh, he was from Persia. It is the shita of the Maharal in a number of places that Paras is Yishmael. Why? Because ethnically, Iran, Persia, is not Yishmael. However, the Maharal says that the way we categorize an Ummah is not based on its ethnicity, but rather based on its personality. Personality of Yishmael, of Paras, is they wage wars. And that is the defining characteristic of Yishmael. And therefore, the Maharal identifies Paras, Persia, is Yishmael. Now, what happened when Haman, who is of course from Edom, came to Achashverosh and said, what happened when Esav and when Haman and Achashverosh were in cahoots with each other? What happened was the most severe gezerah in the history of the Jewish people, lahashmid laroig uliabed. When in history did we ever have a gezerah looming over our heads, lahashmid laroig uliabed? In the times of Purim. How do we account for that? Purim is exactly what the Bir Hagra says. If Esav and Yishmael would ever come together, they would destroy the world. That's what we have in number 20. We once pointed that out, that the gezerah of lahashmid laroig uliabed was a result of what this Gra teaches us, that if Esav and Yishmael ever came together, they would destroy the world. Now, I'm leaving off one little piece. We're gonna say over on Friday and by Shal Shudas, everybody's cordially invited, that we're going to explain how Edom was able to use Yishmael to destroy the Mikdash more than Bavel, destroy the Mikdash more than Paras, destroy the Mikdash more than Yavon, because they were able to get Yishmael to deepen and uproot the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash. But one more Nakuda. And I've said this many times, but here we have it on the sheet. And I found it last night. I have my grandfather Zol Gesundsein, really dedicated a lot of his life to learn the Malbim on Tar Nevi'im and Ksuvim. And I have his set of the Malbims. And I once saw in his personal notes that when he was in Auschwitz, 1944, he saw Eichmann. And Eichmann invited a special guest to visit him in Auschwitz. Who is that guest? The Grand Mufti from Jerusalem. And they would march. Hitler was in cahoots with the Mufti. The Mufti came to Auschwitz. Now, they marched Yidden in front of Eichmann and the Mufti. My grandfather said they were hugging each other as if they would be mamish oyavim she'en kamayu. And they marched Yidden in front of them, and they would beat the Yid in a way that the Yid would not be able to have children. And this was entertainment, and the two of them were laughing. So my grandfather wrote that when Mufti and Eichmann came together in Auschwitz, that is a kiyum of the pasuk, of the last pasuk in this week's parasha, Vayelech Esav el Yishmael. You want to know what the world will look like when Esav and Yishmael come together? Auschwitz, that's what it is. That's what happens when Esav and Yishmael come together. That's the Mufti and Eichmann coming together. So we have, so to speak, three times in our history, Yishmael and Esav are Meshadach Zayin. One time we have at the end of the Parsha. Why didn't it bring a Churban at the end of the Parsha? So I mentioned, the Gra writes, God was Masaris the Zachar. What that means, you know, Tainla, you know, Hashem Yar Einenu. We had this in the times of Purim, when Achashverosh and Haman got together. And unfortunately we had it more recently in our own times. But we have to recognize the fact that there's a discord between Esav and Yishmael is, as they say, when Esav and Yishmael go to war against each other, we wish both parties Hatzlacha Meruba in their war against each other. But if they would ever make Shalom, watch out. That's the last pasuk of Parshas Todos, Vayilech Esav al Yishmael. According to the Gro, we understand very beautifully. Because Vayistoim Esav es Yaakov, Memela Vayilech Esav al Yishmael. And the Hezver Hadvarim is, Yishmael's backward ideology finally has the capacity to be spread to the world through the know-how and technology of the Western world, Esav HaRasha. Mar Rabbeisai, stay tuned for part two. Thank you everyone for coming. And the new Sefer is available if anyone's interested. Brach v'atzlacha. Have a great night. Shkayach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.